Good afternoon. It's January the 17th, 2019, and this is Dan again. And I don't know how long this particular podcast will be, but it's going to be about, well, I hope about one topic mainly, and that's the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Donald Trump. Whatever you want to call him. Trump. Before I go too far, I'd just like to say a few things. One, I did not vote for him. I did not vote for Hillary. I ceased to believe in voting as a thing in 2016. I know there are people who still participate in the ritual of the victimization of their neighbors and violence by proxy and gang warfare by vote, but I no longer participate in that brutal game. I know that there are many who don't see a moral issue with voting. But then again, when you're not on the receiving end, you almost never see the issue. So no, I did not vote for Trump. That's number one. Number two, the reason why I didn't vote for Trump is the same reason why I didn't vote for Hillary, and I didn't vote because I no longer have faith that the system can possibly work. It's worse than just corruption. It is the genuine recognition that systems like this, and let's just be blunt, that governments in general, all governments, attract the worst sorts of people. They attract sociopaths. They attract people who seek out victimization. And really, the outcomes are predictably always the same. Now, if a country or a nation happens to be wealthy, there can, either in resources or other things, there can be a period of time, call it the honeymoon period, where worst case scenario, the government is merely this incompetent monster, you know, that rarely ever shows up. Unless, of course, you're a Native American tribe. But, you know, that's another topic. But yeah, I suppose some people, the limited government people, would say there was a golden age. It was the first 100 years, right? The first century of the Republic, and maybe the end of that century should be the Spanish-American War, because in many ways, the Spanish-American War sort of marks the separation between America as a kind of republic and America as something, as Beto O'Rourke pointed out, you know, in a commentary, an empire with hundreds of military bases worldwide, and why would we need a constitution? That's a paraphrase of potential 2020 candidate Beto O'Rourke. Anyways, so no, I did not vote for Trump. I did not vote for Hillary. I did not vote for Gary Johnson, even though at the time I still considered myself a libertarian. I am, for good or for bad, an anarchist. I am not someone who believes in chaos. I don't believe you should blow up buildings or tip over garbage cans or flip over cop cars. That's pretty stupid in general. I think the best you can do at this point is find a, I don't know how else to put it, a habitat, you know, kind of like those tiny little colonies of lichen that live on the edge of a mountainside, somewhere at 10 or 12,000 feet, or, you know, these, you need to find yourself a micro habitat and make sure nobody knows where it is. But at this point, I don't know what to tell you. I know that if you believe in liberty and dignity, no matter, even if you're not an anarchist, like let's say you're a libertarian or one of those hard to believe small government Republicans. There's really no way through this mess. But I've been thinking about Trump because a lot of the Trump mythology, and I call it Trump mythology because this Q phenomena, you know, Q, QAnon, the Anons, it's so ridiculous. And it's constantly sort of contradicting itself. It'll make a prediction about Hillary being arrested or Hillary can't leave the country. And all of these statements are false. Here's what I know. It's 2019, and Donald Trump, I think in the first or second debate, said, and this is back in, I think, October of 2016, said that 30 days after he took office, Hillary would be in court or in jail or something to that effect. Well, that never happened. And it is 2019. The other thing is this, it does appear there is a lot of corruption with respect to our government. There's a lot of corruption that's come out in the news about not just Trump, but also the really sleazy behaviors of the Democratic Party. It is really unquestionable that the Democratic Party rigged the primary in 2016. Only a moron would question this. They ensured that Hillary would win the Democratic primary and Bernie Sanders would lose. I don't like either one. But still, if you're going to talk about fairness, this is an extraordinarily unfair way to behave, right? But then there's this whole Trump thing in general, like Trump is somehow our last best hope. Listen, Trump was a crony business person, a crooked, crony, slimy business person before he ever decided to run for office. Trump was a kind of pop culture figure. Donald Trump, in my mind, never represented anything other than a kind of distraction. In 2016, I was certain, really in 2015, that Hillary would never get elected. I think it had been decided. Like, and it's really funny because if you actually look at her in some of her speeches and just the wardrobe, in general, Hillary seemed like somebody that knew she wasn't going to win. Like, she knew that that was how it was supposed to be engineered. Bernie would not win and Hillary would not win. But nobody, and this is the spin, right? Nobody expected Trump to win. Now, keep in mind, 2016 is an interesting year, not just for American politics, but also for politics worldwide, specifically the Brexit vote. You remember that time that the UK voted to leave the European Union? Nowhere in that vote did it say, but, let's make sure we have some crony deal before we leave. No. The British people, the actual people that voted to leave the EU, they voted to leave. They didn't vote to make a crony deal. They didn't vote to make sure that certain lawyers and scumbags had a frickin' magical golden parachute. They voted to leave. Let the chips fall where they may. That was 2016. So 2016 was an interesting year. It was a year in which one could argue, and again, since I'm just a nobody, how could I know? But one could argue that the people who have power looked at the world in 2016 and said, we've got some problems. I mean, if you think of this from a perspective of goals, what is the goal of sort of the, I would say, progressives in general, but the New World Order type people? It is to have a single world government. What would be the worst case scenario for that goal? One significant setback, and I mean significant setback, would be any nation in the European Union to leave, whether that's Greece, whether that's Italy, whether that's, you know, the UK, whether that's Spain or part of Spain, right? If any part of Europe were to decide, Europe as it's currently constituted, were to decide that we no longer want to participate, this would be huge. So I mention this because you got to look at Trump from that perspective. Okay, you kind of have to look at it from the perspective of, we're in a bad shape right now, so what do we do? Well, one solution to this whole fear of populism, and, you know, here's the other thing too, it's being labeled as populism and nationalism. I don't know if it's that simple. I think there are a lot of anarchists, for example, who are so skeptical of the New World Order and so skeptical of globalism that they kind of get pulled into these populist or nationalist stances. It isn't that I think that they actually are not anarchists. I think they are anarchists. I think that they've been driven to a position by fear. It's kind of like the border issue. You can explain to people that anytime you build a wall, that wall probably has nothing to do with keeping people out. But it probably has everything to do with keeping people locked in. If they wanted a national ID card, that's not about keeping people out. That's about keeping people locked in. You know, the fact that I need a passport to go to, excuse me, fucking Canada from Washington State, that's not about keeping people out. That's about keeping people in. So here you have Trump, supposedly legitimate, and here you have Trump supposedly with all this evidence, all these documents, all this information that would exonerate him and potentially impeach, attack, destroy his enemies. So why, and this is the question I need to ask, because this is the question everyone should be asking if you voted for Trump. I didn't. Why is he sitting on this? Why is it 2019 and for the life of me, other than a lot of shadow bullshit, it's unclear that anyone has paid any price for any crimes committed. It looks like Hillary Clinton has a whole new breath of fresh air about her. I mean, there's even rumors about her running for president again. Well, this goes back to 2016 again. Back in 2016, when Trump was running, I thought his original purpose was as a kind of stalking horse. You know, his job was to sort of blaze the trail for, you know, Jeb Bush, essentially. And again, nobody wanted another Bush, really. But then again, people voted for Bush more than once. They voted for his dad. So Bush was not somebody who could not win. He just needed a little help. And so someone like Trump seemed like the kind of guy that could set him up and then just bow out of the race. I mean, Trump could have very easily imploded, and yet he did not. Now, compare and contrast that to Ross Perot in 1992. That guy imploded twice, okay? And I don't know that I would accept the argument that Trump is a better person, stronger person, wiser person than Ross Perot was. I don't even know if Ross Perot is still alive. I know I voted for him in 92. I do not know if he's still alive. So here's the what if. What if Trump was all along what I always thought he was and never really stopped believing? Even though he does seem to collect a lot of enemies who I would include on a list of people I don't like, I'm not really fond of. A lot of his enemies are just people I'm not fond of. But then he also has a lot of people around him that I'm not fond of either. I'm not fond of, you know, Pompeo and Bolton. I'm not fond of his flirtations with the neocon bullshit. And I'm really not fond of the rope-a-dope. It's like, we're going to leave Syria. We're not going to leave Syria. We're going to do this. We're not going to do this. You know, we need to have rapprochement or some type of peace or some type of talking with Russia. And then it's Russia's an enemy that we have to be on the watch for. This is kind of a back and forth seesaw bullshit. So that's the what if. What if Trump is still all along the same dude? And here's the proof. I think that if in the next like few months, Trump either resigns or is impeached and gets to the point where he's asked to resign, I think that will basically prove that Trump was essentially there for one purpose. Trump's only purpose, if he leaves office this year, his only purpose, and it may not even be known to him, like in many very complex schemes, sometimes the stooge, sometimes the person playing the role of not just the stalking horse, but, you know, of the sort of scapegoat, sometimes the stooge doesn't know. Sometimes a stooge doesn't know that they are the linchpin in a scheme. You know, Trump is, in some sense, a patsy if this were to happen, if he doesn't know. But I have a hard time believing that's the case. When I see people like Trump or Obama or, you know, any of the Bushes or any of the Clintons, I don't really see anything but someone playing a role, an actor. Okay? Beto O'Rourke is an actor. Okay? The best proof that he's an actor is that when you catch him in his sort of unedited mode, he says a lot of really fucked up shit. Like, maybe we don't need the Constitution, and maybe we need to embrace the empire. I don't think anybody that voted for Beto O'Rourke would have voted. Well, okay, I don't want to say that. I think there are a lot of people who voted for him who would not have if they'd known that he was a big fan of the empire, but it looks like he is. So these people are actors. And the perfect situation for the globalists would be for Trump to implode. Because then this is what happens next. And this is the rope-a-dope, the seesaw, the back and forth. And this is how they grind you to dust. This is what happens next. Then you get the full court press. See, you voted populist. You voted your heart. You voted for whatever you thought was right. And it turned out to be a steaming pile of shit. Please go back to the ordinary programming, the normal menu. Order off the menu. I mean, that's the message from Trump imploding, if he does, and I got this feeling he's about to implode. The message of a Trump implosion will be, in the future, order off the menu. if we give you a Clinton and a Bush, you get to have a Clinton or a Bush. You know, you can vote a third party, but your friends are going to hate you. So order off the fucking menu. I don't think Trump is legitimate. I don't think he's real. The nicest thing I could say about him is maybe he is a fool, a complete moron fool who is totally unaware of the situation he's in. But even then, I don't know if I'm supposed to feel sorry for the guy since he's like super rich and he's a crony fuck and a criminal. He, you know, no one succeeds in the real estate business like he has without doing a lot of crony shit. And when I say success, let's use the sarcastic quotes, which applies to much of the real estate business anyways. It's a lot of criminal crooked shit. So there's my prediction for today. I think Trump is probably on the way out, not because he's a righteous man fighting a righteous battle and the forces of evil are too great. Rather, he was never real to begin with. Trump was never a legitimate choice. He was tossed as red meat before the populace to say, here is your messiah we're going to let you vote for, and then once you've been fucked by this, we're going to come around and fuck you some more. So yeah, I'd say the next 90 days will be very interesting for Trump. And yes, I could be wrong. I mean, I didn't think Hillary had a chance in hell of winning. I wasn't wrong about that. But I could be wrong. Trump could be legit. These Q maniacs who keep spouting this Q nonsense from 8chan or 4chan, maybe Q's real. I don't see how Q could be real, but maybe Q is, he or she or the group is real, whatever. But the next 90 days, the next 3 months are going to be interesting for all sorts of reasons, not the least of which is we're talking about political machines. And since you already have Democrats tossing their hats into the ring or tossing their names into the bucket to run, since you already have people out there kind of running for the 2020 race, yeah, this all has to get cleared out pretty fast. If there's going to be, quote unquote, ordering off the menu again, which means choosing the proper Republican or the proper Democrat, then Trump, whether legitimate or not, has to be cleared out of the system. And then that goes to the other side. If Trump is legitimate, the best proof will be people like Hillary going to jail. Hillary is unquestionably a crooked person. Hillary Clinton is unquestionably somebody that in a morally righteous world, if such a thing ever existed, would be in fucking jail right now. So yeah, I suppose if you want to kind of test this scenario, ask yourself this question a year from now. Who is in office and is Hillary in jail? If the answer to Hillary in jail is false and the president is a man by the name of Pence, then you already know, well, you will know then for sure what the deal is. Until then, have fun pretending, you know, in pretend land. Until then, have fun, you know, reading Q's little statements and deciphering them as if you're medieval monks. But I think the next 90 days is going to be a lot for Trump, and I, for one, think he could be out of office pretty soon. So we shall see.